Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
The FIFA World Cup is the world's most watched sporting event, attracting billions of viewers across the globe, including more than half of the entire human population. What is it about this event that captures our imagination? I'm delighted to have soccer follower and enthusiast Martin Speyer as my guest now to tell me what we can expect. Martin, every 4 years we get caught up in World Cup fever. Why?
Well, thank you for having me on your program, Cherise, first of all. I think it's comfortable for me to say that soccer at the end of the day is the world's most popular sport, and that's evidenced by the crowds that are appearing in all major tournaments. The following of football fans, not only for their clubs but for their respective countries, is unprecedented in any other sport. And I think it would be fair to say that it is the single sport's biggest coverage, namely the World Cup.
Yes, it absolutely is. And it's every 4 years, okay? So it makes it particularly exciting. It's something to look forward to, and the host country gets announced. I remember when South Africa was announced, I mean, I was like so excited. And 2010 was probably the best year South Africa's had in many years. Well, I don't know, I'm not even sure since then. What is it? Is it the pride, the national pride? Is it countries coming together and fighting, but in an acceptable kind of way? Is this war on the field that is sanctioned? What are we seeing?
I think it's a culmination of all sorts of factors, some of which you've mentioned. A lot of the fans are ex-players of varying degrees, and I'm talking about both men and women. And to some extent, they can identify with the excitement and the achievements that the players are endeavouring to obtain. For example, scoring a goal, saving a goal, tackling properly. You know, to varying degrees, all of the spectators at some stage in their lives partook in soccer at some level. Doesn't have to be at the highest level, obviously. And certainly for others who never did, they just get caught up in the excitement of the game and the passion that's exhibited by the fans, irrespective of their team or their country.
Yeah, I think you also touch on something that it's easily understandable. Unlike potentially other sports, and I'm thinking of cricket maybe, where people are experts and connoisseurs and all the rest. Soccer is quick. It's 45 minutes and break 45 minutes and then hopefully done. You know, it's not something that goes on for too long.
Yes, you know.
Sorry, cricket fans.
And if you look at a sport like rugby, the rules are just never ending and changing, which makes it very difficult for the man in the street, so to speak, to be able to follow it. The experts, of course, know the nuances and the differences and so on. But when it comes to soccer, you know, it's much more simplistic and easy to follow. And, you know, just getting caught up in the excitement of the game, such as it is. Of course, experts will often tell you the game was boring and it was drab and it wasn't exciting. But, you know, in between those instances, there are many, many more where there's so much excitement.
So who are these supposed experts?
Well, every fan thinks he's an expert.
Oh, yeah. So let's talk about the match last night, okay? I was in public viewing, okay, and well done to those who organized it. They know who they are. And honestly, it was so interesting to see exactly what you said, how everybody has a comment onto how Bafana should have been playing.
Absolutely. You know, you can interview five different people about the same match and there will be no consensus. Everyone will have their own opinion as to what went wrong and what went right. And from my point of view, the less we say about last night's performance, the better. Being realistic, you know, it was a shambles. We didn't perform. In fact, I think it showed very much glaringly the difference between the level that South Africa's at and what countries are elsewhere in the world, including Mexico, the hosts. The fact that we were rated 60th in the world speaks for itself.
Can I ask you why? Because the talent in South Africa in every field is so great, including our sporting talent. There's no shortage of talent.
I would agree with that. I think, you know, the problem starts administratively. We don't have good football administrators. We don't have an infrastructure. We have a scenario where some of our better players, for whatever their reasons may be, choose to stay in South Africa and not improve their game. And there is no doubt that going overseas and playing in the major leagues, and I'm talking specifically of leagues like England, Germany, Italy, Spain, France, the standard is certainly higher there overall. And the fact that we don't have the players themselves wanting to incentivize and go abroad is effectively holding them back. And if you look at the past generation or two of South African players, and I'm referring to players like Lucas Radebe, who was our captain, and a whole host of others, Phil Masinga, Stephen Pienaar, just to name a few, they all improved their game overseas. And by doing so, they performed better for their country. So somewhere along the line, there's a hiatus between what the Football Association in South Africa are doing and the levels that are expected at international standard.
So that is very, very sad. I mean, SAFA really does have a lot then to account for, because when you think of the national pride, and think back on 2010, when the whole country literally came behind our players. I didn't see anybody. Okay, I haven't been out much today. But have you seen anybody wearing their yellow shirts?
No, I think to some extent, a lot of the fans deluded themselves, thinking that Mexico would be an easy game. Certainly that was never to be the case. Aggravated by the poor performance that they put in. They started with three defenders at the back, which is not a tried and tested formula in South African football. And without getting technical, that's already, for me, was a puzzling formation of the side. But, you know, woeful defending, exacerbated by the fact that the strikers that we had hardly got the ball. Now, how do you expect to win a game if you don't give the ball to the striker to at least give him an endeavor to try and score?
Two red cards. That's not a good way to start the first match, which means our next match. When is our next match?
I think it's next week sometime.
So we're going, does that mean we already two players down,
yes,
for that next match?
It means that the players that were sent off are automatically suspended.
Just for one
for
game.
For the following match.
So it's not the whole. So
not for the whole tournament.
Do you know,
no.
Do you remember which country we're playing next?
I think it's Croatia. And that's another not an easy game by any means. Also, quality players in their team, higher standard. Not to say we can't win, but the effort there was just not there. And, you know, I'm not sufficiently knowledgeable to know the inner workings of Bafana Bafana. There may be politics, there may be injury issues, which we are unaware of, and all sorts of other excuses, inverted commas, but you know that applies to all the teams. It's not unique to one particular team.
I mean, I think we should still stand behind our team and also hope that this was a good opportunity for experience and them coming together and doing us proud the next game.
Yeah. You know what you say is correct. It is a little bit of a stuck record because we've heard this before, and if you consider since 2010, which is 16 years ago, this is the first time that we've qualified since the World Cup. And we only played in the World Cup in 2020 because we were the hosts. So that also speaks volumes.
I mean, FIFA, do you think, I mean, there's all kinds of problems with FIFA, and this is also the first time the three countries are co-hosting it, which is quite exciting, I think. Although the time difference, we'll get into the time difference soon. But do you think South Africa can host again?
Well, I think our infrastructure has deteriorated since 2010, and that's across the board, not just necessarily with regard to football stadiums. And given the fact that there are more than capable countries that have far better infrastructure than us, it doesn't augur too well, but one can only hope for the best.
Let's talk a little bit about Jewish soccer players.
Well, the standout performer for me is a guy that I was on the show with on a Monday night previously, Martin Cohen.
Okay.
He was, in my opinion, one of the better Jewish soccer players, if not the best, excuse me, of the lot. Unfortunately, during his time and at his peak, South Africa was precluded from partaking in international football. And to some extent, we as South Africans and the rest of the world were not privileged to see him playing, representing his country at a higher level. But certainly, I have good authority from other professional players that he was rated very highly as one of South Africa's, if not South Africa's, best Jewish player. Then, of course, we have Dean Furman, who captained South Africa, and that's an accolade on its own. And, you know, one has to take cognizance of that. So, you know, well done to those two guys in particular. But it's really difficult, and, you know, one has to look. There are few and far between those who really have played and will play at the highest level.
Martin, we talk about rugby needing a Ewart on the team for it to be successful. Does the same not apply to soccer?
What?
In rugby. You always need your, you know, Joel Stransky.
Yes.
You need your Ewart.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. That would apply. Whether it's a Ewart per se, but certainly someone who can bring the team together, who can motivate them, who can take the lead, take the initiative, and drive the players forward. And that's indicative of many, many successful countries throughout the history of the World Cup, as it is in club football at a higher level. You've always got a leader and someone that shows the way, so to speak.
So let's look globally, Jewish soccer players globally. What do we have?
I'm not aware of any.
So I did Google. There is apparently a Jewish player in America, in the American team.
Okay.
But I don't know much more about that.
Okay.
And you do know AI is not human and is subject to make mistakes.
Absolutely.
Also, again, I turn to AI as to whom they think will stand a good chance of winning. And I think it said Spain, Argentina, and what was the third potential country?
Possibly France.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Okay, so do you want to talk us through, like, if you were a betting man, would you be?
Well, you know, I think the teams that you've named possibly do have the best chance of winning, given the fact that the World Cup is on the continents of America and South America. Historically, the only non-South American team to win the World Cup on those continents is Germany, when they absolutely thrashed Brazil, which was a shock of note. No other European countries ever won on that continent or that side of the world. So, you know, one has to always think of that and take that into account, because, strangely enough, it does play a role in how the World Cup will pan out. And that's why you've made mention of Argentina, which would probably be a very good bet. One should never write off Brazil. Brazil and the World Cup are almost synonymous. They are the only team that has won the World Cup five times.
Wow.
which is a phenomenal feat. And for some reason, when the World Cup comes around, the Brazilian players lift their game and end up performing or nearly performing. They can't obviously be expected to win every time, but they're always there and thereabouts. So it will be interesting to see how the European countries that you've mentioned, namely Spain and France, who have exceptionally good sides, perform in this environment that I've just mentioned.
Mm. Do we see soccer players coming through game and game and game again? Like, do they become, like, start out in 4 years and 4 years later become heroes and then 4 years?
Very much so. You know, very often, you know, they start out, they're unknowns, and with developing within the professional club structures, they become well known. And a good example of what you've mentioned is Cristiano Ronaldo,
okay,
who is, I think, 40 or 41, and he's appearing now in his fifth World Cup.
Wow.
You know, that is an exception, but it's indicative of the fact that as the players progress their professional careers, so they, the good ones, so they enhance their international careers as well.
Martin, countries such as Japan, which traditionally are not part of the, like, well-known soccer teams, did incredibly well.
Yes.
Do you ever anticipate countries like that coming through, like Japan? I am a supporter.
Why not? They've been a breath of fresh air in previous tournaments. They play an exciting brand of football that appeals to the public. And with experience and knowledge and proper coaching, there isn't a reason why they can't achieve the ultimate goal.
Literally and figuratively.
Literally and figuratively, excuse the pun.
Yes.
Yes, it's a question of, do they have that inner strength and that culture to go to that level?
I suppose it's also experience.
A lot of it is experience. Japan is got some amazing footballers in different professional teams around the world. And, when they perform at a very confident high level of soccer. So, yeah, there isn't a reason why going forward they could perform.
Okay, we spoke about the countries that hosted having a psychological impact on the actual playing. And I know what it was like in 2010 when we opened that match. It was magic. The last match, I think the finals, and I don't know about the quarterfinals as well, are going to be held in America, in New York, actually.
Yes.
Yes. How could that impact American playing? And how do we stay awake to watch it?
That's a bigger problem. If you've got a job to go to in the morning, it's not going to be easy. Do you know the time of the final?
No, I actually don't. I was hoping you would. But I remember reading that, people are getting up at 3 a.m. in the morning to watch.
It's not going to be convenient for us in South Africa, that I can assure you. So to answer your question, of course it will influence the American players. I still have a question mark at the end of the day regarding America, because for whatever the reasons are, baseball and American football and even basketball are their known recognized sports. And having said that, they have produced some very good players. But as a team, an international team, not so easy to reproduce how you play when you play for your club.
Well, we're going to leave it here, but perhaps you'll come in like 2 weeks' time and we can relook at the topic and where we're at and what we've seen.
Sure.
Thank you so much. That was Martin Swire, soccer enthusiast and commentator and expert, talking to me about the World Cup, and it's an exciting time. Thank you so much. I look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you for having me.